You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is over. It's over, Orioles fans. And hey there, and welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast. It is Thursday, August 26th, 2021, and we are finally happy once again here on the pod. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, the O's have stopped the streak finally. The 19-game losing streak is over as the Orioles defeat the Los Angeles Angels 10-6 on Wednesday night at Camden Yards to snap the losing streak. They beat Shohei Ohtani. Yes, they lost 19 games in a row, and the one they finally win was going up against the probable AL MVP in the hardest fashion you can when he's pitching and hitting as well. And for today's episode, we are just pretty much going to focus on Wednesday night's game because it was awesome in so many ways. Not just the fact that it snapped the 19-game losing streak, but just the aura around it, the fans in the ballpark, the people watching the game at home, people on social media coming together finally again to see the Orioles win a game. So on today's episode, we will talk about what it finally meant to win again for the Orioles and what it felt like for me to watch the O's win and what really went around that win with how maybe unlikely it was with Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Angels. Then, of course, we will get to the standard five things you need to know from the Orioles' 10-6 win over the Angels. And then we'll get you ready for the day game today here on Thursday as the O's have a chance to win a series here in a 1 o'clock game against the Halos at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another show here on the network that is Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So the Orioles have done it. They have finally done it. They beat the Angels 10-6 on Wednesday night, snapping the 19-game losing streak. And just wanted to kind of talk about how kind of unlikely and how fun this game ended up being for the Orioles. And, you know, when you go and look back at, you know, let's say all 20 of these games, the 19 that they lost, and then right here, the game that they finally win, and you just take a look at the starting pitching matchups. Now, obviously, as we especially know from the Orioles, both present and past, the starting pitching matchup does not have everything to do with how winnable a game is for a certain team. But what it does do is give you somewhat of an idea of who might win. And if you went back and looked at every starting pitching matchup from the start of the losing streak in New York, right after that cat appeared, until now, I feel like most people around baseball would give the Orioles the least chance to win Wednesday night's game. And guess what? That is the game that they won. You look at Shohei Ohtani, who is probably going to win AL MVP. Now, a lot of that has to do with his hitting, of course. He's been arguably the best hitter in baseball. He leads the league in home runs and extra base hits. But as a pitcher as well, Shohei Ohtani is pretty damn good. You know, he's got a 3.00 ERA on the season. He continues to make good starts. And, with that combined, he is, somewhat lock for AL MVP. Yes, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. might be there. Yes, Cedric Mullins could still maybe make a run, but it's probably Ohtani's award to lose. And then you compare it to who the Orioles had going. And it's not even like the O's were starting, you know, a struggling Jorge Lopez or a Keegan Aiken, who we can't understand why he's still getting starts, or Spencer Watkins, who has really had things fall apart on him, or, you know, one of their prospects, maybe, like a Zach Lowther or an Alex Wells, who was coming back up, or a Dean Kramer or anything like that. No. The Orioles were starting a guy making his Orioles debut. And it was not an Orioles prospect even making an Orioles debut. It was Chris Ellis, who the Orioles had claimed off waivers last week from the Tampa Bay Rays, who had two previous Major League Baseball appearances, one this season against the Orioles, and one inning in 2019. That was it for Chris Ellis, a right-handed pitcher who, again, did have success in that one appearance this year against the Orioles, the four scoreless innings, but still against the Orioles offense. He was now facing the Angels offense, which is a little bit better. And so you compare those two things, and not just that Chris Ellis was starting, but that he was, it was already assumed that he was not going to go 4, 5, 6 innings into the ballgame. The Orioles had already admitted it was a bullpen game. They were starting Chris Ellis, who can give you a little bit more depth, as he had shown earlier this year, going 4 innings. So I think they were hoping for kind of 4 innings maximum from Chris Ellis. So you even add that on, that it was still a bullpen game. And yes, at times this year, the Orioles bullpen had been the strength of the entire team. It's not a good bullpen, though. And so you add all that together, you feel like, well, the losing streak was probably going to go to 20, and you hope for a win Thursday. But that is not how it happened. And, you know, really, the game started like the game on Tuesday night. The Orioles, you know, homer immediately. This time, it was Cedric Mullins. You know, Chris Ellis strikes out Shohei Ohtani in the first, puts up a scoreless inning. Cedric Mullins homers on the first pitch. It's 1-0. It was 1-0 Orioles on Tuesday night. We were feeling good. Santander homers, it's 2-0. And then the Angels get 2 in the second, they tie the game, and they get 4 in the fourth. And, you know, they knock Ellis out of the game in the fourth. Marcos Duplan has his first bad major league outing, gives up a 3-run homer, doesn't get an out. All of a sudden, it's 6-2 Angels in the fourth inning with nobody out. And you're thinking, here comes 20, let's try to not make it 21, and of course match the Orioles record from the 0-21 start to the 1988 season. But then things turned around. And, you know, it all started with the DJ Stewart homer, ended up being the third homer that the Orioles hit off of Ohtani. The first time this year he had given up more than one home run in a start. It came against the Orioles, and they hit 3. They hit 2 of them in the first inning against him with Mullins and Santander. And you just saw the team fight back. And we'll get all this in the next segment when we get you the 5 things you need to know. But it wasn't just that. It was the bullpen giving the Orioles, you know, 6 innings of scoreless baseball to keep them in the game. It was the fight to, you know, not just have the one big inning, which they did, obviously. They score 5 in the eighth, but to also, you know, continue to get the little amounts of runs. You know, the 2-run homer from Stewart earlier, and, you know, just getting the 1 run across in the 7th inning as well to help the comeback. All of that combined into kind of a magical win for the Orioles. And, you know, I will say it would have been awesome to win a game like 7 or 8-0 to stop the streak, where you have dominant pitching all day, and you just, you know, win from beginning to end, and you know it's coming. But there was something more fun about a 5-run eighth inning and fans on their feet at Camden Yards and the place kind of going crazy when, you know, Kelvin Gutierrez walks to give him the lead and then Austin Hayes has the 2-run double that gives the Orioles the space that they needed to, you know, feel good about winning the game, you know, and just continue to pile on those runs in the eighth inning on Wednesday night. And it was cool to see, you know, all the fans standing in unison as Tyler Wells got the final out in the top of the ninth inning. You know, it was not a large crowd. It was a lot bigger than a lot of crowds the Orioles have had this year. Was somewhere between 15 and 16,000. A lot of that was because people were there to see Ohtani. He was starting, and people in the area, you know, that's kind of the only chance you get to see Ohtani as a starting pitcher since he pitches on the West Coast. And so a lot of the people were there for Shohei Ohtani, but there were still a lot of Orioles fans there as well, and they were there cheering for that final out as the ball went out to right field, and Santander made the catch, and the streak finally ended at 19 losses in a row. The Orioles picked up a W, and it was great to see. You know, Orioles fans loved it. The players seemed to love it. You know, we had the great stories after the game of how, you know, Trey Mancini had a mustache. He hated it. Didn't like the way it looked. Didn't like the way it felt. But it was something to keep the dugout loose, and said he was going to shave it off when they finally won a game. So Mancini gets to get rid of his mustache. You had the Orioles, Mancini and Austin Wynn, and other burning sage at basically every corner of the stadium at Camden Yards during the day on Wednesday. You know, trying to bring some better vibes. Austin Wynn apparently overnighted all the sage on Tuesday night to get it to Camden Yards in time to do it on Wednesday. You know, Cedric Mullins saying the clubhouse was electric in there after the win. Like, all that good stuff from the Orioles and good vibes from the team for sticking through it and finally getting back into the win column. And even for the Orioles fans who weren't in the game, you know, those on social media, been a lot of infighting lately about a lot of things as it pertains to this rebuild. And of course, the losing streak amplifies things, makes everything worse. A lot of national writers were just piling on the Orioles, but felt good for the whole Orioles kind of fan community to come together after a win, celebrate it, post memes in the Angels mentions. Another part of this is, wow, the Angels bullpen might be in a worse spot than the Orioles. That is bad, bad, bad. For the amount of talent they have on that team, you need some better relievers, because that is just embarrassing for the Angels. But the Orioles win the game. The streak is over. And let's hope they don't start another streak like that in the final month of this season before 2021 is still at this point mercilessly over for the Orioles. But, you know, we wanted to dive a little deeper into what happened in the actual game and get you the 5 things you need to know from the Orioles' 10-6 win over the Angels that finally snapped the losing streak. That's all coming up after this break. So we will get back to finally celebrating an Orioles win in just a second, but maybe you want to celebrate with your favorite snack, and that could be a Built Bar and all of their delicious flavors of protein bars. They've got flavors like coconut, mint brownie, double chocolate, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and so many more. And you know, you're thinking about all these flavors, you're trying to pick one, maybe you haven't tried them all. Well, go to BuiltBar.com, order a mixed box. They will send you two of each of the 9 flavors, then you can pick them all, and then you can always have a snack for the next 18 wins for the Orioles as they turn the 19-game losing streak into a 19-game winning streak. But not only are Built Bars delicious, they're healthy too. That's really the best part. Most of the bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only about 4 or 5 grams of sugar and grams of net carbs in every single bar. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off of those delicious protein bars at BuiltBar.com. Now, as you listen to this here on Thursday, it still may be hard to believe, but yes, the Orioles did finally win a game. They snapped the 19-game losing streak as they beat the Angels 10-6 on Wednesday night at Camden Yards in Game 2 of a 3-game series, and the Orioles snapped the streak. They are now 39-86 on the season. Wanted to get you the 5 things you need to know from the Orioles' 10-6 win over the Angels. And the first thing you need to know from this one is Chris Ellis wasn't bad in his first appearance as an Oriole. Of course, if you haven't listened to yesterday's episode yet, go back and listen to that one. We had Kyle Reese on, who covers the St. Louis Cardinals minor league system very, very closely. We had him on to talk about Chris Ellis after the Orioles claimed him off waivers last week. Of course, Ellis spent 3 full seasons from 2017 to 19 in the Cardinals system at AA and AAA. Kyle Reese had some good insight on Ellis as a pitcher. Of course, the Orioles had claimed him off waivers from the Rays, but he only made 1 appearance with them. And you know, the stuff was definitely interesting. His final line, he ended up going 3-plus innings. He allowed 3 runs on 5 hits, struck out 3, didn't walk anyone, and did allow a home run. That was the only batter he faced in the 4th. Was a leadoff homer on the first pitch to Jared Walsh of the 4th inning. So we knew it was a bullpen game. We knew he wasn't going deep. I think Brandon Hyde, best case scenario, would have gotten 4 innings out of him. He only got 3. He threw 38 pitches only. And, you know, it wasn't good, wasn't bad. I think that's kind of the takeaway from the Chris Ellis start in this one. You know, he threw 38 pitches. He goes with 18 fastballs, 14 sliders, and then really those were his pitches. He threw 4 curveballs, threw 2 changeups just to kind of mix things up a little bit. But what was really interesting, and I think what should impress Orioles fans, is that in just 38 pitches, he got 9 whiffs, 9 swings and misses. That is a very, very good number there. He got 5 whiffs on the fastball. And then the really interesting thing to me is when we talked to Kyle Reese on Wednesday's episode, again, make sure to go back to that one. He talked about how, you know, really since Ellis joined the Rays and left the Cardinals organization, the Rays basically turned him into mostly a fastball slider pitcher because they felt those were by far his 2 best pitches. And that's what he kind of was. You know, only 6 of his 38 pitches were either the curveball or the changeup. You know, 32 of 38 were fastball sliders. So that's what he is. But what was interesting is that his other 4 whiffs, he got 5 of them on the fastball, 2 on the curveball, he threw just 4 of them. And how about this number? He threw 2 changeups, both of them got swings and misses. So he knew when to use them and when to pull out that changeup at the right time. And, you know, the curveball was solid, but I would like to see Ellis be a fastball slider changeup guy. And, you know, he could maybe throw the curveball if he needed to, but I was impressed by that changeup. One of those whiffs came from Shohei Ohtani as well, who he struck out to start the game on a high fastball. The stuff was really, really good from Ellis. He just got himself into a little bit of trouble in that second inning when he let the first 2 on, then gave up the 2-run single, and then really just a bad pitch down the middle to Jared Walsh to start the 4th, gave up the homer, and his day was done. But I was impressed by Ellis. You know, he sat 94, 95, pumped it up to 96 once or twice on the fastball. That was a good slider, about 86, 87. And then, you know, the changeup was at 88, but it had some good break down and away from lefties. I was impressed by Chris Ellis. I don't know how I feel about him being a starter moving forward. I think kind of that bulk reliever role where he comes in and gives you 2 innings out of the bullpen, maybe some high leverage spots, I think could be good for him. But I liked what I saw. Again, it wasn't great, but I liked what I saw. Second thing you need to know from the Orioles bullpen is that You know, there was one reliever that struggled, but everybody else was just huge for the Orioles in this game. Now, Marcus Duplan had his first bad outing as a major leaguer. He did not record an out. He came in for Chris Ellis in the fourth inning after the home run. He allowed 3 runs on 3 hits and a walk. It was a 3-run homer that he had allowed in the inning. First career homer to Brandon Marsh, who hit one just over the wall in left field for a 3-run shot. And Duplan came out without getting an out. But after that, the Orioles bullpen was just really dominant. The Orioles bullpen after Duplan, this is after Duplan, in the final 6 innings, they gave up 1 hit. 1 hit in 6 innings. 1 hit and 2 walks. 3 base runners the entire time. Connor Green, who was recalled by the Orioles on Wednesday, they optioned Connor Wade down to AAA Norfolk. Green, of course, was claimed back off waivers from the Dodgers last week after he was initially DFA'd by the Orioles and claimed by the Dodgers earlier this season. 2 scoreless innings. Now, it wasn't like he was super dominant. But he didn't allow a hit. He didn't strike anybody out. He did allow 1 base runner with a walk. So it wasn't dominant, but it was 19 pitches in 2 scoreless innings. You'll take that any day of the week. Cole Sulcer, he was the only one to give up a hit, but he goes an inning. He allows 0 runs on 1 hit, 2 strikeouts, no walks. Dylan Tate, an inning and a third, no hits, no runs, 1 strikeout, 1 walk. Tanner Scott retires both batters he faces with a strikeout, and then Tyler Wells with a 1-2-3 ninth, including a strikeout to seal the win. I mean, the bullpen was just fantastic. And really, out of anybody, you got to give it up the most, I think, to Connor Green, who had struggled in his, you know, 3 appearances with the Orioles earlier this year, and he gives them 2 scoreless and was very efficient on 19 pitches. That is what you like to see from the bullpen. That is the reason why the Orioles were able to hang around in this game and mount the comeback that they did. Third thing you need to know from the Orioles' 10-6 win is that Anthony Santander is heating up. 4-for-5 for him in the loss on Tuesday night. How about a 3-for-4 on Wednesday night? 3-for-4 with a double, a solo home run, which he hit in the first inning. Again, the double was a part of the rally in the 8th inning. Scored 3 runs on the day, and the stats all of a sudden going way, way up. Santander actually leads all of baseball in OPS among qualified hitters in the month of August. And this August, Santander has finally looked like the hitter we saw in those 37 games in 2020 before he sustained the oblique injury when he was named Most Valuable Oriole last season. He's looking like that hitter again. Again, most of his damage is being done from the left side of the plate, which we usually see from Santander. He's still dangerous from the right side. He actually just hit his first home run from the right side this season the other day, but he continues to heat up, and it is pretty impressive to see what Santander is doing, and the Orioles have needed it big time. Fourth thing you need to know from the game, kind of hidden in, you know, snapping the streak and the comeback, Jamai Jones, his first hit as an Oriole, does come against his former organization, and it was a big one. You know, he had had a little bit of a rough night on Tuesday, an 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts, made an error, and he had an 0-for going on Wednesday night, but then to lead off the 7th inning, Orioles are trailing 6-4, just grounds a ball up the middle for a base hit. He ends up scoring a run in that inning. It was a big run for the Orioles, got it back to a 1-run game in the 7th as he scored on a Cedric Mullins grounder, and, you know, props to Jamai Jones. He was very fired up after the hit. Jared Walsh gave him congratulations at first base. Of course, the two of them teammates in the Angels system and briefly with the Angels at the major league level in 2020. So that was a cool moment as well. But good for Jamai Jones. Hoping he just gets these everyday reps at second base basically for the rest of this season. We can really see what he can do. And then the fifth and final thing you need to know is, you know, I think Wednesday's game was a point in the right direction for Brandon Hyde being the manager of the next good Orioles team. Now, this has been talked about a lot among Orioles fans. You know, at what point would this losing streak get to where you have to fire Brandon Hyde? You know, is this the right guy for the next Orioles team? We know Elias brought in Hyde partially because, you know, he was prepared to take on the losing that was about to happen over his first few seasons at the helm of the Orioles in his first career Major League Baseball managing job. And I feel like he's done a good job. I feel like he did a great job in 2020 getting more out of the talent that he had in the shortened season last year. But I felt like Hyde pushed all the right buttons in the game on Wednesday night. You know, going to his bullpen, you know, pulling Ellis when he did. Obviously, it didn't work out with Duplan, but you couldn't have seen that happening. He had been dominant all year until this. You know, you go to the right guys at the perfect time, Green and then Sulcer, and then letting Dylan Tate get that extra out and only having Tanner or Scott face the 2 batters instead of getting a full inning, having it work out. How about Brandon Hyde, you know, calling on DJ Stewart and his struggles? Stewart with a 1-for-2. He had a 2-run homer, plus he worked 2 walks on the day. How about Hyde leaving in Kelvin Gutierrez? Remember, you know, the Orioles tied the game on the Ramon Urias walk with the bases loaded and nobody out in the 8th. That tied it at 6-6 in the 5-run 8th inning. And then Jamai Jones struck out. And then you had Kelvin Gutierrez coming up. And the Orioles, you know, if they wanted to, you know, could have had the option potentially of taking Gutierrez out of there. You had Austin Hayes on the bench, obviously a much better hitter than Gutierrez, bases loaded, 1-out tie game, but instead he leaves Gutierrez in there. And you know, you're always thinking about a lot of stuff when you do that. Gutierrez, great AB, 3-2, works a walk, gives the Orioles the lead. And then what Hyde does is know that he has a catcher on the bench. Austin Wins comes up. Then he goes to Hayes at the perfect time. Hayes delivers the 2-run double to give him the separation at 9-6. Of course, Hayes stays in the game. You have Pedro Severino come in defensively and catch the 9th inning. And all pretty much worked out perfectly for Brandon Hyde in Wednesday's game. And you know, you don't get a lot of chances to make managerial decisions when your starter pitchers are taking you out of the game in the 3rd and 4th inning during this losing streak. But you saw in a game where his team stayed in it, Hyde was able to make decisions, push the right buttons, make the right decisions, and help the Orioles finally get a W, 10-6 over the Angels. They have snapped the 19-game losing streak. And you could feel it. You know, so many people talked about, you know, how funny would it be if the Orioles beat Ohtani. Well, they did. Ohtani gave up 4 runs on 5 hits in 5 innings, and the Orioles did it. And, you know, you could feel it. First pitch, Cedric Mullins, home run, bottom of the first. You could feel like maybe this is the night, and it turned out it was. So the Orioles stopped the losing streak. Now, maybe they think about a winning streak. That'd be nice, because they've got another game coming up today, a day game, and we are going to preview it for you when we come back from this break. So we will get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, it's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the season. Now, the Orioles may have won a game, but, you know, I still feel like most of you probably getting excited for the Ravens season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at betonline.ag. And if you go to the website right now and sign up today, you can receive a 100% welcome bonus, and that's pretty good. So be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo as well. Make a bet on the season opener between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, and if you lose even, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, whether it be football season or maybe still a little baseball as the season winds down. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. rockauto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And the best part about it is the prices at rockauto.com are reliably low for every single customer. And they have everything you could need, and they can help you as well. For a person like me who knows nothing about cars, the website is still easy to use. You can find everything like brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your car. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We can all now finally remember what a win feels like. Just the second one of the month for the Orioles. First win since August 2nd. As again, they snapped the 19-game losing streak. But speaking of streaks, hey, maybe let's try and turn this into a winning streak. Start the Orioles going the other way. And, you know, they've got another game today. It is a day game. You may be listening to this, you know, if you didn't listen exactly on time, this game might be over. But, you know, we still do have Orioles baseball here on a Thursday. The Orioles have a chance to win a series at Camden Yards today with a 1:05 p.m. Eastern time start. The starter for the Orioles, Somehow, some way, is Keegan Aiken, as the 26-year-old left-hander will make his 19th appearance of the year. He's got a 7.92 ERA in 63 and two-thirds innings. And now, win-loss record for pitchers is basically useless, but the Orioles could snap another losing streak, as Keegan Aiken is 0-8 on the season. Be nice to get him a win, or I guess at least just the team another win. Now, he was workable. It was okay. His last start against the Braves back on the 20th, he went five innings, allowing three runs on five hits, three strikeouts, and three walks in that one for Keegan Aiken. He did get, you know, a little lucky in that start, but we'll see what he can do. He did make a start in Anaheim against the Angels earlier this year back on July 2nd. That one wasn't very good. Three innings, four runs on seven hits, struck out three, walked one, allowed two home runs in the game. And hopefully Aiken is a little better than that. The Angels will send the 25-year-old right-hander Jaime Barria to the mound. He will make his eighth appearance of the year. Barria has a 5.87 ERA in 30 and two-thirds innings this year. He has 17 strikeouts on the season. His last time out, he got clobbered in Cleveland on the 20th. Two innings, five runs on six hits, three strikeouts, and no walks for Barria in that one. He's kind of been up and down with the Angels all season, but he now does have a spot in the rotation here in August, and we'll see if the Orioles can get to him like Cleveland did in his last start. A little bit more on Barria, a four-pitch mix, and he's one of those guys who throws his slider actually way more than any other pitch. He's got a slider, four-seam fastball, a sinker, and a changeup. The slider comes in about 43% of the time. That's his most used pitch. Then the four-seamer about 34% of the time, sinker 16% of the time, and then he'll toss in changeups about 8% of the time on the year. That slider is his pitch. Most of his strikeouts this year and last year have come on the slider, although opponents are hitting 280 against it. It's about an 86-mile-per-hour slider. Then you'll see the fastball, 92 to 94 with that thing, with both the four-seamer and the sinker, although the sinker has not been a good pitch for him this year, and then he'll drop in the changeup at times. So he really can become just a fastball slider guy at times, and we will see if the Orioles can get to him, as he throws a lot of sliders, and hopefully if he's struggling with command, the Orioles are able to lay off as well. But for Barria, as we talked about, again, a pretty bad start his last time out, and for him, it will be his second career appearance against the Baltimore Orioles. He also started against the O's in his rookie season back in 2018. That was a game in L.A. on May 3rd. He went six innings, allowing two runs on four hits, struck out two, and walked two in that game as the Angels beat the Orioles 12-3 that day. So he does have a little experience pitching against the O's, although if you take just a peek at the Orioles lineup from that day in L.A., you've got Trey Mancini in that lineup, who was leading off, and then you had Anthony Santander in that lineup as well. That is the only two Orioles he'll be facing today that he had faced in that one. But again, Orioles and Angels 105 as the O's go for a series win. Then coming up tomorrow on the podcast, we will be right back here with you. We will recap Game 3 between the Orioles and Angels. Hopefully we're recapping another win, and it's back-to-back wins for the O's. Then we will continue to talk Orioles draft picks. We're going back towards the top of the draft tomorrow as we're getting to Billy Cook, the outfielder the Orioles took in the 10th round out of Pepperdine. Big time, four-year college hitter with some big time pop and some sneaky speed as well. We're going to talk to former big leaguer Danny Wirth, who is also the hitting coach and an assistant coach at Pepperdine and has coached Cook for the last 3 years. Danny Wirth joins us to talk about Billy Cook's power, his approach at the plate, him having kind of that big league aura around him already and knowing what it takes to be a pro player, and also kind of the sneaky parts of his game, his defense, the versatility. He can play all over the diamond, his speed as well. We'll talk about all that on tomorrow's episode. And then we'll also get you ready for the weekend series preview, the three-game set at Camden Yards, as the first place Tampa Bay Rays come in for three this weekend, a team the Orioles have only beaten once in 16 tries so far this season. Maybe another kind of streak they can end this weekend. But before we go, do have to tell you about another podcast here on the network. That is Locked on bets. And betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. And then in terms of this podcast, you know, if you're liking what you're hearing here on Locked On Orioles every day, you know, we are the only podcast bringing you Orioles content 5 days a week, at least in terms of the major league team. You know, make sure to give us a rating and a review on whatever platform that you listen to the podcast. And especially if you do listen on Apple Podcasts, which I know many of you do, especially leave a rating and a review if you can. That is where it is easiest. You know, just a rating takes, you know, 5 seconds and then just another 30 seconds. Just leave a little short review about whatever you think about the podcast. That really, really helps us out, helps me bring you this Orioles content and continue to bring you this Orioles content every day of the week. But again, we will be back here on this same podcast tomorrow. Again, we'll recap game between the O's and Angels. We will talk about Orioles 10th round pick Billy Cook, and we will look forward to the weekend series against the Rays. But that's all coming up tomorrow. Until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.